Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say.
Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann. It is Sunday evening, and we're going to have a great, great time tonight. You know, today was a beautiful day, but we have some interesting people coming on. We have Miss Catalina E., and she's coming on to remind us of the importance of our homeless youth out here. We also have coming on Kathy Carmichael-Seddon. She is the CEO and founder of SURF. SURF stands for Sensory Integration Education Research Foundation. And they work with children with Down syndrome, and they do a lot in not only the community in the state of California, they go into many, many, many states. And we will have a surprise caller coming in this evening. I am so happy to be here talking to you tonight. But, you know, we always talk about empowering the youth. We always say that, you know, we must be what we want to see. And I have to put something out here. You know, I would not be doing this had I not had someone to come and assist and support me. You see, there was a person that came in into my life that woke me up so that I can wake you up. I'm not calling any names out there because I don't have permission to do that. But I just wanted to extend this out, extend my appreciation, extend my heart, and extend all my love, because we have to pay it back, give it forward, and never, ever, ever get amnesia. When there are those that are there for you, you take heed to that, you open up, and you push it out. It's about paying it forward. You see, I'm waking up. I got woke up. I'm waking you up. And we together are going to wake up all the youth out here. We're going to get this show rolling this evening. Just stay tuned. You're listening to Waking Up with Linda McShann on a Sunday evening. This is July 13th. some fun tonight, and I'm going to get all this stuff out the way because once we get to talking, we might not have time to interrupt and give you all this other good stuff. You know, we have a segment here for the show. This is Family Conversation and Community Information, and I got an email from Michael C., and Michael C. wants to know how can he get involved. Well, Michael C., stay tuned this evening. You're going to get some helpful information and many, many ways that you can get involved this summer because, you know, young adults out there, it is very important that you volunteer. It's not all about the money all the time, and especially those of you who are seeking higher education, because once you put those applications in, they want to know, what have you done in the community? See, they're going to put that money behind you, but they want to know, what are you going to do with what they give you? How are you going to pay that forward back into the community? So you might as well start now. Do some things. Do some volunteering. Be sure to have persons give you letters so that you can put this in your portfolio. You're going to need it later on down the line. So that's our email portion. So, Michael, stay tuned. You want to hear what we're going to be talking about tonight regarding volunteering and all that other good stuff. And also, we're going to go into our promo section. I'm going to get it out the way because we're going to have fun. We're going to be talking. There's a gentleman here that comes in every summer. He comes in from up north. He is Samba Funk, and you do want to check out his classes. The next class will be July 26th. He will hold that class at 5430 Crenshaw Boulevard in Los Angeles. Those classes are awesome. He is an awesome instructor. He gives you great stretches. He gives you the history of what you're doing. And at the end, he takes you down spiritually. When you leave out of there, you feel like you're a new person. So, again, July 26th, you will be doing Samba Funk with King Theo. He comes in from the north. He visits us in Los Angeles every summer. And he has some things to show you. And you will leave out of there feeling real, real good about yourself. So we're going to keep rolling. We got that email out the way. We got that promo out the way. I'm going to play you a little bit more music and wait for the guest to call in. Let's have some fun.
I'm just not the same.
have a caller on the line. Who is on the line this evening? Hello? Who's on the line? Speak up, please. Hello?
It's you right now, actually.
Can you hear me? Hello, caller? You're talking the Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. Who's calling? Okay, I guess they'll give us a call back. Come in. We had a bad connection. We're going to keep rolling out here and keep on going. So maybe that was someone with a question and they couldn't quite get it out. So let's just keep going. They'll give us a call back.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.
On the air, we're waking up with Linda Mac Shan. Who's calling?
Hello, this is
Hello.
Little Nene.
Who is on the line?
Hi, this is Nene Kirby.
Hi, Nene, how are you? You know, I was putting
I'm
it out there. I am so glad to hear your voice. I told the listeners that we were going to have a surprise caller coming in. And it is you. I'm glad you're calling in. Ken, I know you're busy out there. You are doing so many things. Callers, I know this young lady. This is Little Nene, Nene Kirby. And when I speak of in the community, not only is she in the community and just going through, she's a very prominent actress. She's the perfect host. I've known her since she was about 8 years old, and I think, Nene, you're 12 years old now. But I want you to share with the listeners briefly what's coming up for you that's so exciting. And I'm going to sort of like give them a surprise and let them know that Nene will be hosting with me on Teen Talk. And we're working
Teens
on that.
Talking.
Teens
yes.
are talking. Tell us about that, Nene, and then let us know what's happening the next upcoming event, and just share something with us briefly here.
Well, of course, as you know, it's called Teens Are Talking, and I came up with Teens Are Talking about early this year because teens were posting on my Facebook and my Twitter and everything, always kind of asking me for my advice about, you know, different topics from fashion to things that are going on with stars or celebrities or things happening in the community. And so I thought, what better way to answer their questions to take it to radio or TV? So I went to a friend of mine. His name is Michael Coyer. He is a comic, and he has a radio show. And so he would give me a 15-minute segment on his show to do Teens Are Talking. But I wanted Teens Are Talking to expand so more and more people can know what teens are talking about. And so I'm so happy and honored to be able to do my segment on your show. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Well, you know, this is just beginning. We're just introducing you here. They do not understand how you can rock and roll out there. They have no idea of what you're getting ready to bring to them. And when I say, when I laid eyes on you, Nene, 4 years ago, I've watched you. I mean, you're talking about listeners' charisma, poise, charm, personality. This is a young lady that has it going on, and you are 12 now. You were 8 when I met you. Nene, do you know the world has been waiting on you? Do you know my mission and my vow and my legacy to leave is to pass that baton? See, the, you are what I live for. I'm the angel, and we're giving you your angel wings, okay? Did I ever tell you about the starfish story? There's a starfish story that goes on. And after I do that, there was this guy walking on the beach, and he walked there every morning. And he noticed something down on the beach, like a dance, someone was dancing. So as he got closer, he saw it was a young boy. And the young boy was bending down, just throwing things back. And he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm throwing the starfish back into the ocean because they'll die if the, when the sun comes out, if they're not in the water." And the man kind of chuckled. He said, "Young man," he said, "it's 1,000 starfishes out here." He said, "It's no way possible that you will be able to save all of these starfishes." And the young man looked at him, and he kind of winked, and he bent back down again, and he threw one back out in the ocean, and he said, "I saved that one." So you see, we work steps to success here. We are steps to success. And steps to success, our motto and mission is to go from 1 to 2. So we reach out and pay forward. You are it. I am so honored that you want to move with me, that you will be co-hosting with me. They have no idea what they're in store for. And before I let you go, Nene, I don't want to tell it all, but something is coming up for you. You are in the movie, and the title of that movie is Clarissa's Gift. And the caption on this information said, "Wisdom is the bright light that gives us the courage." So I'm turning up my lantern here because, you know, when you talk about us old school people, we have all the wisdom. We're going to give you the story. So when I saw that, I said, what a perfect title. So when is this coming about? I know that it is being produced. Could you give me the director and the producer? I know who they are, but I'd like for you to tell the listening audience who's directing and producing this.
Of course, I'd love to. And thank you so much for all your beautiful words. I enjoyed them very much. And first of all, our director was the wonderful Mr. Oba Babatunde. He is an amazing director. I had such a great time working with him. And it was really just a pleasure. And the producer was the wonderful and beautiful Miss Melina Gay. She is an actress and, of course, producer. She has actually had me on her radio show to do Teens Are Talking and to speak with her. The name of her show is called Beauty Pop. And it was she's just a beautiful, beautiful lady in general. And me and my mom, Monique, we were also executive producers on the short film called, of course, Clarissa's Gift. And Clarissa's Gift is about bullying. And I actually came up with the idea because being in the industry, of course, bullying is all around us, from celebrities to kids being in school, and it's still a huge issue today. And so everyone kind of always doesn't really talk about it that much, and it does need to be addressed or else it won't get better. So that's what we came up with, and the short film was for the film festival called The 168 Project. And it is a spiritually based film festival. So the process was, first we had to go and pick out a stone. And on that stone was a scripture from the Bible. And once we received that scripture, we had to write our short film around that scripture. And the reason that it is called the 168 Festival is because you get 168 hours to shoot, edit, and score, add the music and everything to your film, and then you must turn it into the film festival. And it's very, very exciting because there was over 60 to 70 films that were submitted, and we have just been accepted into the top 20. So we are very, very close to winning. And so we would like everyone to pray for us. And we are just so happy that we made it this far because we have come a long way with the project.
Well, you know what, Nene, with you out there and your mom's great support and the beauty and the hearts that you both move with, it will be a victory. And, you know, I am now this is going to premiere on July 25th. Is that right? At H Studio, and that's near downtown L.A. Live area. I got an invitation about that. I will definitely be there, and I wanted to say that I will bring the lady with me, Gina G, because she just spoke about bullying on the Thursday night show, and she shared some stories with us, and it's like everything is right on time, but I want the listeners to know that you are Miss African American scholarship pageant queen for 20, yes. Was it 2013 or was it this year, 2014? You do so
yes.
much, it's kind of hard for me to keep up with you. And you
yes,
talk about how honored you are to come with me. I am so honored because I've been watching you for a long time, and I know that you can spin on a dime. I know the type of background that you have. I know your supportive mother. And, you know, children and young adults are very, very important and special. But it's persons like yourself, Nene, that have the charisma, you have the mannerism, you're very, very well rounded young lady to be 12 years old. It's really frightening out there. I just cannot wait till we take to the streets and let people know what's going on. I am ecstatic because you want to move with old school. But, you know, I've been looking at you for a long time, and I wanted the right person to come with me because you speak the language, you know what's going on out there, and you got that teens are talking. So I'm not talking to the teens. You are. So this is a youth developed show. This is not for the old folks. And sometimes we play that, you know, old school music. But, and my belief I believe in the wise and the young coming together because, you see, we are the storytellers. You know, there's a Creole. The Creole can tell the stories from the beats of the drums. This goes way back. So, but it's no good to have and know those stories if you're not going to share them. And you must pass the baton. And I like passing batons to individuals that I know that's going to know the right end to grab, and you happen to be that person. So we're going to work on this. We're going to let the listeners know you are coming aboard. The movie, it's Al Clarissa's Gift, and I will be down on July 25th. And is there a number, or is it open to the public? Is there a number you'd like to give out, or is there an email or a telephone number? Or I
yes,
can get
there
that
is.
And out. Okay, do you have that number to share with us, please?
I do. If you're interested in coming to the special preview of the trailer for Clarissa's Gift, you can RSVP, and the email is gctv@eitpnow.com. Again, the email is gctv@eitpnow.com, or you can visit the website at www.ccscla.org. Again, the website is www.ccscla.org. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'll give you all the information. At Nene Kirby, that's NayNayKirby.
Okay. You know what, Nene? I just wanted you to just give them a taste of you, and they don't know that you are in neutral. You have not shifted to first gear yet. See, I know. I've seen you move like a 16-wheeler Mack truck when you shift. And you can sit on a dime. And the world needs to hear what teens are talking about. And I am ecstatic that you're going to do it here with Waking Up with Linda McShann. And as I said earlier when I came on, there's people that come into your life that show you the door. Now, they're not there to give you a pacifier. You have to make that move on your own. So when I opened the door, they woke me up so that I could wake others up, and now you're going to join me. This is going to be a great, great Los Angeles lookout, because it's getting ready to come. And you know, both you, your mom, and myself, we like to travel around, so we're just not going to stay here in Los Angeles. This needs to be a global affair. Wouldn't you say that?
I sure do. I agree.
Okay. Nene, I'm not going to hold you. I have a caller coming in. And I hope that you listeners are listening out there and to know that Nene Kirby, will be co-hosting But Waking Up with Linda McShann, and you are going to be in for a treat. Nene, on Sundays, we do family conversation and community events and information. You are out in the communities, not one or two or five. I mean many, many communities, and they need to know about that. You do incredible things with paying it forward. Your heart is out there. You are my baby starfish. I am your angel. I have an angel. So I'm just like passing it forward, and we're going to help strengthen your wings so we can all fly to victory here. And I appreciate you taking out time. I know you're probably off to some event right now. Oh, and before I let you go, Omni Youth Music and Actors Award will be happening on September 7th. Little Nene will be out there on that red carpet with me, and little Nene can make a room move and can handle anything that has to be done, and that is for the Omni Youth Music and Actors Award, September the 7th. I'll be letting you know more about that, but I'm not going to let them know about it, because Nene, that's going to be your department, okay? You know, we're looking for the young adults out there. You know, we move with the youth, and everything that we do is for the youth, so I will be speaking with you, because we have to get our crew set up, and they're waiting. Everyone knows that you're coming. Everyone knows that you're going to be there, and they are excited, because as I stated, I met you at 8 years old, and I was like mesmerized with what I saw, and now you're 12. Can you imagine at 16, 14? The world is in for a wonderful treat, because now we have little Nene. Thank you so much, and I will be speaking with you.
Thank you, and I will see you or hear you all next Sunday. Teens are talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, teens are talking. And, you know, let me see. I have a commercial here that you made. I'm going to try to play it and see if it comes out so the listeners can hear. Little Nene, give me a minute here. Let's see what we can do here with this, okay? And after that, I'll be speaking with you. Give me one moment. Everyone, this is Little Nene. Teens are talking. You're talking to Nene Kirby, who will be starring in Clarissa's Gift. And that is a wonderful movie about young adults, bullying in the industry, and across the board. You must check it out. Nene, let's play that commercial and see what happens. I love you, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
All righty, let's see if we can get it on. Give me a minute here. I'm trying to be technical, you know, I need your help. That's why everybody's taking here, you know. Miss Linda's trying to get there. Let's see if it's gonna do what it has to do. Maybe. Let's see. I'm trying. If not, we will get this ready to play for our audience at another date, because guess what? Technology will not allow me to do this. Okay? So I'm going to say goodbye to you, and I will be talking to you and your mom, and just get your list ready. Okay?
Okay.
I love you, Nene. Thank you for coming on board with me.
Thank you, and have a wonderful Sunday, everyone.
Yes. Thank you, and you have a great. I'll see you at the premiere.
Of course.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Listeners, that was little Nene Kirby. She will be with us with Waking Up with Linda McShann. She's awesome. I just wanted to give you a little taste of her to let you see what you were going to be dealing with. She is awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're going to put on a little bit more music and wait for our next caller to come in here. So let's keep it rolling with Family Conversation and Community Information. You're waking up with Linda Maxian. Catalina on the line. Catalina, are you there? Hello. You're waking up with Linda McShann, who's calling. Hello. Well, I guess they're not on the line, folks. Let's go back in on it.
Hello.
Hello, is this Catalina on the line?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm great, Catalina. How was your day today?
It was good. Just got off work, hanging in there, tired.
Hanging in there. Well, I'm so glad that you took our time to call with us. Listeners, we have Miss Catalina E. on the line, and Catalina is going to kind of share with us and give us some information about our homeless youth out there. But these youth are very extraordinary. They're homeless, but they have goals. You know, they're academically engaging. They're trying to make changes in their lives. There's things that are going on out there that we don't really know about. So she agreed to come and kind of share a little bit with us this evening. So, Catalina, I'm just going to leave it open to you. You take it and start it any way you wish.
Thank you. Well, guys, my name is Catalina Espinosa. I am 21 years old, and I am currently a homeless youth. I am also a college student at Los Angeles City College, and I will be advocating for the students. You know, like growing up, I've always, you know, encountered, you know, poverty. And even as I grew older, it, you know, haunted me a lot. And, you know, I've been in situation after situation, and I ended up in a homeless shelter in Hollywood, California, called the Covenant House. It's for youth from 16 to 21 years old. There, you know, like when you go through, you know, poverty, it makes you go into a depression, and, you know, you go through that phase. And going through that phase made me, like, really, really weak in a way. And I say that because, you know, I just graduated out of high school. I was always a hardworking student, always had things going for myself with the goals of coming out of poverty. But it's extremely hard to come out of poverty, especially when you don't have that, you know, wealth inside of your family. And it's not only me, there's a lot of homeless youth out there. And, you know, living in that homeless shelter, you meet different people who leave their homes to come to, you know, the United States to, you know, fulfill their dreams of, you know, becoming, you know, like a star, a singer, a dancer, whatever the case may be. But living at the shelter, I've always been motivated. I always wanted to do something with myself, and so I wanted to pursue a higher education to, you know, get me further, but the shelter told me that I could not, and I found that very problematic because, you know, like Los Angeles is a competitive state, and it's very hard finding a job, and, you know, it's harder doing that than, you know, going to school and actually being able to get you know, classes to, you know, pursue your dreams and stuff like that. But when you're living in a shelter, your freedom is limited. You can't really do a lot of things that you want to do because they choose for you. They tell you, oh, you can't go to school. They'll rather you have a job and stuff like that. And a lot of people can't get jobs, especially, you know, us minorities. And the shelter was populated with us there. And you will see a lot of homeless youth just wandering the streets, like a lot of them really trying to find a job but can't because they have records, and that strains them from actually finding a job out there. Once I, you know, moved out the shelter, luckily, you know, they did have resources for foster youth. I was only living at the Covenant House for 6 months before I went into a transitional living program. And there, how they're set up, you know, it's the same thing. They want you to go to school. They want you to work and, you know, just do what you have to do in order to survive. And, you know, I respect that. But, you know, like, they put you into these high apartments. And when I say this, they move you into, like, Pasadena, like, different places, and the rent is, like, $1,350. And, you know, like, they help you for the first 2 years. They give you, you know, money. Not money, but they help you pay the rent. Like, you pay, like, 10% of your income, which is, no, 30%, actually. I'm sorry. And, you know, that's good. And then, like, after the 2 years is up, they leave you to, you know, pay for the apartment yourself. And it's really hard, especially when you're working at jobs like McDonald's. You know, like, those are minimum wage paying jobs, so therefore it's not really going to get you far. You might only be able to pay rent and, you know, bills and stuff like that, but you still have to worry about transportation. You still have to worry about food and stuff like that, and that's what makes it, you know, extremely hard. And, you know, I went through that phase, and then I ended up becoming homeless again because I could not afford rent. And, you know, I am a college student. I am, you know, working extremely hard in order to get out of poverty, but it's hard for me. Like, I also been thinking, like, that I wanted to drop out of school and, you know, pick up another job in order to take care of myself, because I see that life for me is getting harder and harder every day. And even when I, you know, moved out of the transitional living program and went back into poverty, the same people who lived inside of the Covenant House are the same people who you see out on the streets right now. Like, a lot of them, you know, they're on drugs now because they gave up, because they can't get a job, because they can't find stable housing. And, you know, that could be me right now. You know what I'm saying? If I don't continue to push hard in order to, you know, survive out here, then I could be that. And it's not fair to me, because I do want to pursue higher education. But then, too, I'm another homeless person.
Okay.
Here on my own, 21 years old, out in the streets by myself. I do have a mother, but she can't do anything for me. Therefore, I have to do everything for myself, and it's hard.
Well,
it's
after
really
speaking with you, I'm so glad that you agreed to come on, because, you know, people that haven't been in that situation, I know a lot of adults that have lived in shelters. I have a lot of friends that are musicians, and situations happen, and they have to go into shelters, and they might need to work gigs at night, but they can't because the shelter has strict rules with hours that you have to be there. And I knew about the adult situation. I mean, anybody could be there at any time, and 21 has nothing to do with it. It can happen to you when you're 31, 41, whatever. It just goes up and down. But what attracted me to you after, you know, having a conversation with you and, you know, having a lot of dialogue, and you're opening up, and that's why I wanted you to come on the show and share, because these things people don't know out here. So even though the housing is provided and they're there to help you, but they only help you for certain years. So once you come out of that program, hopefully, but if you weren't making minimum wages, you can't save up enough money to carry that rent. Let me ask you, as far as, you know, are there programs set up? I know some people, you know, we kind of like our own privacy and stuff, but when you go into these places that they set up, is it possible, say, like you have a one-bedroom, but, you know, we know how to break that one-bedroom down and sleep four people, right?
Yes.
Are there rules and stipulations placed on you that you cannot have outside roommates? Or I'm just asking because I'm wrapping my head around this.
Once the 2 years is up, yes, that is what occurs. You can have people move in with you and stuff like that, but it's a lot of people who don't have jobs, you know, like,
right.
And I know a lot of those people, and it's hard, period.
Right. Well, what kind of like, okay, continue. I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
No, what attracted me, you made a statement. You said, you know, we want to work. They think we're lazy. We want to work, but we got, you know, people have records out there because they're trying to survive
right.
out there.
Right.
And they get into trouble. You know, you have to eat. You have to feed yourself, get some money, but then
right.
you get in trouble. So
right.
as I was speaking with you, you know, it seems as if we have to set up a forum and we have to get to employers that have positions that will take persons in that have had that little, you know, setback, because everybody needs a start. And
yes.
someone that's willing to go in and get the real story of
right.
why is this like, you know, because just because you come in and you've been fingerprinted or you've been to jail don't mean that you're a bad person. So
right.
we have to
right.
find persons out there that are open enough to understand that. Now, in the Covenant House, I know where the Covenant House is. I'm not too familiar with transitional, you know, living and things. Do they offer you skills and training while you're on that property? I mean, you know, like teaching you any type of skill?
Actually, like it's just like basically everything is up to you and to an extent. Like I said, like they have like this computer lab where they allow people to go in and, you know, job search, and like they have different things like where they can have people from like bonds or, you know, routes or stuff like that, like have open interviews for people. But majority of the times, like I told you before, like these are the people who, you know, look into your backgrounds and judge you like, oh, dang, you went to jail? What did you do? And, you know, like everybody's
okay.
quick to judge but never, you know, understand why we're in this position. Like, you know, we, you know, go through things and we are, you know, we have to perform crime or whatever the case may be. Not me speaking, but I know a lot of people who go through this and it's hard mm-hmm. for them. And I understand why they break the law and do what they do in order to survive. It's because there's not enough resources for us.
Okay, so yeah, well, I'm saying, just as I stated, we need to find persons that are willing to dig deeper than the surface and find
right.
out exactly, because what appears to be a lot of times is not. And what attracted me to you is, and what shook me up when you said, you know, I'm going to have to find two jobs and come out of school. And it's like, uh-uh, that's not going to happen, okay?
Right.
Not with you plugging and moving the way that you're moving. You see, I'm back. That's how you met me. I'm back as a non-traditional student. Not
right.
saying that my situation was that way, but I just didn't stay in there long enough to stay in there. I had other things to do. But once
right.
once I made up my mind, you know, I have people laughing. I say, you know, I'm graduating magnum and cum laude, and I say, you know what, I didn't stay in school long enough to see how smart I was. Okay?
Right.
So that was my thing, but now I'm back, but it's the perfect timing for me. So you're not coming up out of there. As I spoke with you, we will set
right.
up some forms. We will get a group of young adults that, because you know the persons, you know the people, the ones that will open up and share. Everybody is not as freely open to speak as you are. So therefore,
right.
if the help is out there, if there's assistance, I'm going to say assistance. I don't like to use the word help. If that's out there, then we need to be able to pull together and get it rolling. Because I understand exactly what you're saying, and to see a 21-year-old that's moving, that's doing what you want to do, you're trapped, but you're very, very wise, and you're very, very intelligent, and you have a big
Thank
heart. So that's
you.
What attracted me to you, and the concern that you have for others is the beauty. okay? And because that concern, you're in it, and you're a little bit, but you're concerned about the others. And that's what I picked up on you when you kept talking. So this is why, you know, you're on Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. And I tell everybody, it's just not to get up and get out the bed. It's to become aware. Wake up. Yeah. Wake up our lives. See, we have to be the change that we want to see to go out there. So our behavior, and I can imagine that it is very frustrating to be moving and being determined like yourself and then run into that type of negativity is because, you know, where is their heart? You know, you must get into an arena where a person can see past that surface, not put labels and tags on you, not just put you in a category, because that's not where you are, and it's many up there like that, and labeling and tagging and, you know, passing third and fourth hand information. And I mean, you might talk to one person, and when you return back for your services, it's a totally different person. So who can you ever sit down and really tell that story to? Who can you ever sit down and feel that this person is understanding you? Because you're just being moved back and forth and back and forth. Now, the housing that they provide, it's kind of like, and I can understand two sides. Your friends that you would like to help out, they're unemployed, so they can't help you with the rent. You're not going to have them squatting on you. They don't allow it because you have to finish the actual program before you can solicit for roommates or anything of that nature. Why do they put you in such expensive places?
I think it's because they want us to expand, you know, like they want us to grow as people. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are under the impression that this is a small world. This world is not small. The only reason why they feel that their worlds are small is because they don't ever get out and go anywhere. And that's the problem.
Yes, ma'am. Keep talking. That's what I'm talking about. Give it to us. Yes.
That's the problem. And I feel that if, you know, we could, you know, come up with something like build a community and get people involved and, you know, go out there and help people who are willing to strive in order to help themselves, that would be the best thing that would ever happen to us, because we need this help. And, you know, once we find that stability, I feel that a lot of us could grow. We could find, you know, employment. We can do a lot of things with ourselves because we're stable. And the only thing that holds a lot of us back is that force that a lot of people put on us, like the shelter, like, oh, you guys have to work. This is what you guys have to do because this is what is going to get you guys out of your situation. 9 times out of 10, that's not the case. It's harder than that. It's not that easy, like, especially when you're working these minimum wage paying jobs that only give you like $1,000 a month, $500 each check. Okay, you can afford that with a roommate, but not everybody could afford that. A lot of people could only afford low income, and
so
that's where I stand also.
Right. Okay, so you have to go into an area, and as you were speaking with me, I don't know all the policies, even though we've been in property management for a few years, quite some time, and the properties that we take care of are not, you know, we don't do Section 8, but I know that Section 8 is out there, which is a good program, but you have to wait forever to get in.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but like I said before, this is a competitive, you know, this is a competitive state. And so, like, even the Section 8, the programs that they do have, they have us, you know, calling. And if you don't get through, you don't get through. You have to wait more time and more time and more time. And by the time we reach that, you know, that point, it's just like, oh, my God, I'm already old. I'm already depressed. You know, like, it's certain things that you go through. And all these things I went through at a younger age, I've always been, you know, subjected into poverty since I was a kid. And, you know, the cycle continues as I get older and older and older, and that's why I strive so hard in order to get out of this cycle. But it's too much for me. Like I told you before, at school, like, it's becoming too much to the point where I feel that I have to work two jobs. I might have to take a break. I don't know exactly what I want to do yet. I do have to get myself together because, you know, like I told you before, like I don't have parents, even though they are alive, they're not citizens from here, so they don't have jobs, like, so I have to do everything for myself, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody is living with different people, and I'm saying my family, as I'm saying that, every like referring everybody, these are the people who are my family, and, you know, like everybody is separated, and it leaves me here by myself in this transitional living program, a program that, you know, could put us out anytime, you know, if you're not doing with what you're supposed to do. And so, like, you know, like I'm, you know, here talking and, you know, representing, you know, the homeless youth, because we are out here. A lot of people, I feel like we're being overlooked because, you know, like there's a lot of women with children and stuff like that, but there are a lot of resources for them already. There are a lot of resources for mental people. There are a lot of resources for all these certain people, but youth, and if it is for youth, it's for foster youth. But if we was to, you know, get a apartment building or something like that, and, you know, allow people to come in, like, outside of, you know, these groups, like, as far as, you know, like, foster youth and stuff like that, because these programs only allow foster youth. These programs only allow mental health patients. These programs only afford, I mean, you know, get women with children, but there are homeless youth out there, homeless kids who are out there by themselves,
well,
giving up on
you.
Themselves.
Right, right. And I'm listening and I'm hearing all of this, but I'm also hearing that determination in your life. And that's what attracted me to you. And with determination, you know, everything starts with you, and you know that.
Right.
And you're out there
right.
moving for that. And we're not, you know, iron wears out. And sometimes it can get a little crazy because it's not seeing that, because the doors aren't opening or the doors are there, but they keep slamming in your face. And I'm hearing that. So my question to you is, and, you know, we talked about this, and we will get together on this, and we are going to set up those forums and get out there and see how we can get this rolling, because it's things out there that, and it's about a creative mind, and you're 21 and you're awesome. So you know what you want. You can, you have a heart. You're very compassionate. And with that compassion and that determination, nothing is going to knock you down. I'll tell you, like my grandmother used to tell me, okay, so you're going through this and you're going through that, but you get knocked down, but you still have the football in your hand, don't you?
Right.
Now, the football is you. It's you. She was saying, you are still here. You are you. So she said, look up. Hold your head up. Do not ever hold your head down. Look up. Keep your eyes open so that you can see the gold. It's there. Now get to it any way that you have to. So I'm understanding that about you. See, you're gonna get across that goal. And not only will you get across, your compassion and your heart is going to bring many, many more with you. So one voice is out there. You're out there tonight. But there's many, from what I can gather from you, which I didn't know, because I didn't know that end of it. You know, you drive around, you see, you know, your community. I deal with a lot of youth. But as you told me, there's many youth that are here on this campus, Linda, and they don't even tell anybody that they're in the street. See, they don't open up like you. Well, it's up to you and I to set
up
a forum. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's like an embarrassment, you know? Like, who wants to get out and raise their hand like, I'm homeless, you know? Like,
know.
A lot of us are embarrassed about that. And it took me a while to open up about it as well. But it's like when, like my mom always told me, like, if you need help, ask for help.
Yeah, close mouth never gets fed.
Exactly. My mom used to always tell me that. And I've always, you know, been that type of person to, you know, work for everything that I have, because, you know, a lot of things are not just given to you. Like, I see my mom, like, as, like, you know, she's not a citizen, but she would go out there and collect cans. She would go out there and do it until she find enough cans in order to provide a meal for her kid. And even if it meant one plate of Chinese food that all six of her children surrounded, when she walked into that door, she did it. She made sure that her children ate, by all means. And sometimes, even if it meant eat one pack of noodles, like, we still did that. And it occurred for too long to the point where, you know, it continues to haunt me. It continues to haunt my family. It continues to haunt those who don't have the resources to support themselves.
Well,
and it bothers me.
I know it bothers you.
Yeah.
It bothers
but it
you
bothers
you're
me
speaking out
speak.
About it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's because,
yes.
like, it's I left Hollywood 2 years ago, and to go back and see the same people that I used to hang out with still in the same situation shows me that it's very, you know, hard to escape poverty. It's very, very
well,
hard, and it causes us to get, you know, like, it causes us to go back, you know, into that depression that, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like giving up.
No,
because
I feel like I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, you're
I'm expressing this to you because I want you to know that, you know, like, I'm striving hard, and I feel like I'm not getting anywhere.
But you are. Moment by moment, things change every moment. It's that we are so bogged down and clogged down that we can't see it. But because you are speaking out about it, just because that's a release and you're putting it out there, because as many people like myself, we know about it. We know it's happening, but not getting it from the real resource. And see, that's where the change is going to come in, because you can speak about where you are. People can talk about it for you. And that's what's happening with a lot of programs and, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, but then you're not doing anything. Okay, but see, you are the actual person that's in the shoes. They're not walking in your shoes. They just see you walking or trying to walk. So then they're going to get out there and advocate for you, but you're your best advocator. And that's why you're on the phone with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan, because it's time we have to wake up some stuff around here. I'm willing to do it. That's my mission. That's my vow. And I guess because I put that out there, and we all go through it. Life is up and down, and we're never, ever, ever victims, never, ever, ever. And it's no such thing, Catalina, of we can't pull up, because we can. It's going to be a big struggle. But with the determination that you have, and with the compassion that you have, with the heart that you have, and with your ability to tell the story. See, you're the storyteller. There's many things and many people out here that are preparing to do a lot of things regarding these type of situations. And those people need to talk to the horse, as I say. You know how people take third-party information. I hate third-party conversation. You know, always deal with the horse, because you know how you're going to get up on that saddle. Or even in Texas, my aunts used to say, bring the stew pot to the middle of the table, and let's put the carrots and the potatoes and everything in the stew pot, and then the meat will eventually get there, and let's just bring it to the table and dish it out and see who it makes sick. Those that can take this soup, we will continue to move with. Those that throw up, well, they got to go, because they can't take it. The stomachs can't take it, because we're on a move here. You are the person out there that can tell the story. The story has to be told. When I worked in many, many organizations and many, many, I believe in when people, the word leadership does not mean anything to me, because we're all born leaders. But I participated in many leadership programs because I wanted to see what their definition of leadership was. So I participate. But when you put yourself out there, when you step out in front, and when you are a real leader, so you just get in there and you fight, and you don't care what the outcome is going to be. You just paint the picture on the canvas to do what you have to do. No, you cannot come out of school. You're on your way. Academically, people say, well, you can't do anything with a degree and all of that stuff. Yeah, well, you know, you will be calling me Dr. Mac Shan. So they say, well, you know, people got PhDs. I say, they forgot to tell you something. You don't get a PhD to get a job. You get a PhD to give jobs. So that's my outlook on that. So I don't really care to hear your opinion about what I need to do to push myself forward to where I have to go. And I'm hearing the same thing in you, and that's why we were attracted. Your heart, number one. See, everything has to move from the heart. One right. fat heart is out there, and it's beating for you, and I hear it. That's why you're on the line with Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. You woke me up. We're going to wake everybody else up. You're 21 years old. I have not talked with individuals with that much spunk in a long time. 21, out here, understanding the system, as you know, we both learned, you know, in some of our classes, that it's already just the script. It's the script. All this is the script that has been written. So what are we going to do about this script? We got to flip it. And there are persons out there that are looking to hear a genuine, heartfelt story, okay? A genuine, not somebody out there trying to get over, not somebody out there taking, and not willing to give it back. That's not the case here. But there are those out there that have open ears, and they need to know this. So you and I, we talked about our weekly meeting, and we'll get together. I know you have a crazy schedule. You know I have a crazy schedule. But there's persons out there that would like to talk to you, and that are coming in to do something and let this, we're getting ready to flip this script, put it that way. Because if you don't speak up, it doesn't get out there and no one knows. So the young adults that you know that are open, that are willing to sit down and talk about their lives, and because we need to know what can be done. How can we be of assistance and get more of assistance? I don't even like to use word help. I don't like that word. It's like assistance and support, okay? And it's not a thing that you cannot continue. It's not a thing that, you know, it's coming at you north, south, east, and west. That's the way life is. And what happens each time you go through an ordeal, it strengthens you. It's like going to the gym with your life. Right. And once that life is, you go through enough and you experience enough, you'll be able, like we were talking on the phone when we were in person last week, and we were talking, and I was saying I've been beat upside the head so much that I don't even feel licks anymore, because those licks don't really matter, but I recognize one when it's coming. But it doesn't have anything to do with what I have to do. And that's what I'm hearing in your life here, saying the same thing. Well, Catalina, I will be seeing you. I'll see you this week. I appreciate you so much to come on and share this and taking out time of your weekend and the things that we talked about. And I know that you said that you were beginning to jot down stuff, because when you speak with someone that has open ears, you want to be able to spit it just like you're spitting it now. There's no hesitation there. There's things that are in the making. That's all I can say at this time, because I just got information about it that are coming in. When Hurricane Katrina happened, I saw the situation. I went to the surplus store and got a gas mask, and I got all my little stuff. My little relatives was laughing at me. I even have a, you know, the little flashlight that you put on the top of your head so that you can see, so I could have my hands free. I said, you know what? I said, if I'm trying to get to Aunt Tina, I damn sure am not going to wait on FEMA, okay? So that woke me up to like, you got to get out here and take care of yourself after that little mess up that happened there. And the same thing here. So you're speaking about it. Your mouth is not closed. A closed mouth will never get food, so you're going to always be able to eat, okay? Keep that in mind. And the beauty of you, per se, your person, your being, is that not only are you trying to advance yourself, and you are advancing moment by moment, believe me. It might not look like it, but everything changes moment to moment, and you keep your heart right. But the beauty of it is that you're thinking about others, and that's the key. That is the key. It's not just about, you know, when I go back and I see those same people there. I mean, that is like, that's a wake-up call. That keeps you moving forward. That keeps you going for what you have to do. So I don't know where I know what's going on in my head. I know what my mission and my vow is. It's just like putting it together and getting it out there and making this change, because it's all about change. And see you with that type of determination and with that, you know, heartfelt feelings for others, you will make the impossible possible. You will make it happen. You will be
really
a victor in everything that you do. It's just right now you're going through this training process. I call it a training process. But look how many people, not only you cannot help them now, but you really are helping everyone just by speaking out. But look how many people you will be able to reach back and encourage. That's the only reason why we go through these things. See, everybody's put here for happiness. Okay? Now, some people wouldn't be happy, Catalina, if you gave them a happy shot. Okay? They just wouldn't be happy no matter what. But we're all put here to be happy, you know, with the however way we get there, whatever faith we are, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to have a roof over their head. Everybody really wants to. Same thing. So it's about time for all these people to start coming together and sitting down and talking about it and pooling some resources and doing what we have to do. My thing is employers out there and people are listening in. Sometimes they don't say anything, but that's okay. That's what we want you to do. If you have any job openings out there, if you have a spot in your company and you're willing to go past that surface and start working with some of these young adults out here that are looking for work. I'm skilled enough to know if you're pulling my leg or not, okay? But my question to employers out there, are you willing to go past the surface? Because that's where the problem lies. We're labeled, we're already put in a certain category, and it's like, boom. Okay, so a lot of times I have to go into arenas, and I think we were laughing about this last week, and I said I might step up into an arena, and everybody's looking at me like, why is she here? And I look back at them, and I smile, and I say, yeah, you think I'm Shaquisha, coming in from wherever you think I'm coming in from. And yes, I am Shaquisha. I can go there too. I said, but today I'm going to be Madeline, okay? And go in there and do what I have to do, because no matter how they feel, what they say, what they try to stop, doesn't have anything to do with what I have to do. It's about taking on who you are, keeping your character where you are, and standing in your greatness. And you are the only person that can stand in your shoes. So on that note, I'm going to say I appreciate you so much. Stay open. Start writing. We have some things to do, and we'll talk about it before we move out on it, because I want to find out, you know, the real drift. And in order to do that, we need people to come and really share. They're going to have to open up, and you are the person that can get them to open up. See, all you have to do is take one step. It doesn't take but one person. It doesn't take 1,000 people to make a change. It takes one person to make that change, and then everything else will follow. So I'm going to say on that note, with our homeless youth out here, listeners, we have Catalina Espinoza on the line. She's sharing. She's sharing her heart out. Things that you didn't know about, you learned about. You're listening to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan, and this is a Sunday evening. And on Sundays, we're going to have some juicier topics. And I just had a young lady to come on. I don't know if you were able to hear her, little Nene. Little Nene is 12 years old, and she is a firecracker. Okay, so we will all meet up. You will get an opportunity, you know, to speak with little Nene. She's going to be co-hosting with me, because I believe in moving the youth. I'm the big angel making little angels. Okay, my wings are given to me, and I'm going to help you strengthen yours. And we have to do some calling out here, and it all will get done. We are victorious in everything that we do. Can I hear you say that? Just repeat that to me. Before you get off of this line, repeat it, please. You are, I am, can you say it?
I am
victorious.
Victorious.
In every endeavor that I take on.
In every, I'm sorry, I'm lost.
Come on. You are victorious in every endeavor that you take on.
I am victorious in every endeavor. I'm so sorry.
That's what, come on with it. I know. Come on.
In every way that I take on.
Okay, say it to me one more time.
I am victorious in every way.
Okay.
In everything that I take on.
That's right. And when you get up in the morning, before you go to bed tonight, say that to yourself. Please.
I will.
Because you know, you and I both know, we go through this every day. We know how that brain works. And we know how things come to us. And we also know, as I tell the listeners all the time, we think we're moving in our consciousness. Our subconscious is what does the work out there. And sometimes we got to alter that bad boy, okay? And you have to alter yours. I'm altering mine each and every day, polishing my character to be a better human being, to stand in my greatness. And you are the epitome of what people should strive for, because not only do you move with your heart, Catalina, you have compassion for others. And that is the key. We're going to pay it forward, and we're going to make this happen. Okay? We will be victorious in every endeavor that we take on, no matter what. We don't believe in blocks and clouds. We get rid of those, okay? No matter what we have to do it, you get rid of that, because that has nothing, and I will repeat it again, that has nothing to do with what you get to do. And what you get to do is to pull yourself out of the situation that you're in, no matter what. That's
right. Thank you.
I love you. I will see you tomorrow. Thank you. Have your friends call in. We'll have everything for you. Start bullet point. When I see you tomorrow, show me a list of some things that's on your mind. We got to go to Washington, D.C. You ready to go?
Yep.
You want to take a trip?
Yes, ma'am. I want to do everything. I never really traveled before, so this would be a great opportunity for me, especially to meet Barack Obama. Yes.
Okay, well, yeah, we got to make a call. They need to talk to you.
Right, thank you.
And I'm crazy. I go knock on anybody's door. I don't care. They either don't let me in or tell me to leave. What difference does it make, okay? But no. Yeah, for you guys, this is my vow, this is my mission, and it's just like, you know, what can I say? So you have the right one with you, so we're going to posse up and armor up, get our thoughts together, and put something out there. And it's not just going to be to do something just to say it's going to be done. We will show actual proof. Okay?
Thank you.
Actual proof. Just like, you know, people use people's situations and circumstances to get all type of whatever they get out there. But they never put it where it's supposed to go. Okay? Right. And so, therefore, they fall on their faces and it never gets anywhere because they didn't do it right. So, with your heart and your compassion, my determination and craziness, we should make something happen here. I will be contacting you. I'm making a phone call tonight because someone talked to me about a situation that's getting ready to come up, and they will probably want to meet you, okay?
No problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You.
All right, Catalina.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye. Hello, I have a caller on the line. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann. Who's calling in, please?
Hi, this is Kathy Sutton. How are you today?
Oh, Kathy Carmichael Sutton, I just got off a hot topic with a young lady that was talking about the importance of our homeless youth out here, and I am so glad you're calling me. We have on the line listeners Kathy Carmichael Sutton. She is the CEO, director, and founder of SURF. SURF is a foundation, and SURF stands for Sensory Integration Education Research Foundation, and they do remarkable things, not only in the state of California, but in many, many other states. I think you're home based in New Orleans also. They do wonderful things for our children with special needs, as far as education, as far as medical. And, you know, Kathy, I'm not going to try to talk about what you do. I want you to talk about what you do. And I've known you a long time, and I remember when you started this. I just cannot quite remember the year, but, you know, you are the person a person that's in my life that is making it possible for me to stand on both legs. So I know what your capabilities are because you had to deal with me. And that was a chore. And I'm going to extend my appreciation to you. Now this gives me an opportunity to pay you back and let you know you did pretty good, okay? So talk to us about surf this evening.
Well, actually, you did a really good job. And, you know, talking about the organization itself. But I just wanted to let, you know, your listening audience know that SURF is an organization that deals with special needs kids, as you said. And the one thing that we really specialize in is we specialize in, you know, seeking, getting them help, and really, you know, kind of cultivating them to be, you know, to be the type of individuals that they can be. Because a lot of people make a mistake and think just because they have special needs, they're incapable of doing great things. And what they mistake this for is those individuals are incredible, and they have wonderful talents and attributes. And because they're not developed or paid attention to, a lot of these kids do not develop their God-given talents. And, you know, whereas most people think, oh, they just can't do these simple things. Well, simple things they can't do. Complicated things that you don't expect them to do, they can do. And see, it's the simple things that mislead society that these kids are inept or, you know, or they don't know how to do anything. All we need to do is just kind of babysit them along, you know, for the rest of their life, or, you know, somebody's got to watch them for the rest of their life. And I was on Facebook today. As a matter of fact, that's my special needs child.
Okay.
Not me trying to get my attention. So anyway, he's already had my attention, so he's just being nosy because he knows I'm talking.
Okay.
So
okay.
Basically, I was just on Facebook today, and there was a post on Facebook. It was a video, and it was a video of a Down syndrome man who who had got to the point where he developed it. You know, I think he was the Olympic gold medalist or something in the Special Olympics and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did with the help of his family, he opened a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He was the owner and the proprietor of the restaurant. And his whole theme of the restaurant is a friendly place. You get good food, a smile, and a hug. And
okay.
He made all of his patrons feel very warm and welcome. And another thing that people really need to understand, these individuals they love unconditionally. And they really, you know, they really care for other people. And they're not, you know, they're not into being malicious or hurting anybody. These are the most special children and the most loving children that you could possibly, you know, as you could possibly imagine. They do not have a mean bone in their body.
Mm.
So anything else you want to know?
I know that you know, and you know that I know that you have the patience of Joe because I've watched you for years, and what you have done through the skill and the training and what you went through with your child, that you took that information and you took that knowledge and you because when you started SURF, it was with you as a parent and a medical person, and it's taken out from there, and evidently you were the first parent that went in there to tell them just what you just told us, that they do complicated things. It's the simple things, because when I have a special needs niece, and what I used to laugh at her because she was smarter than everybody. And when you would go to her with that dumb stuff, oh, she would let you know that that was dumb stuff. And I would laugh, and I would tell her, Mom, now who has the problem here, okay? Or you say that have the problem here, because anything that I would – asked her to do or instruct her on doing, and she, you know, she was a little diva, and we would, you know, I'd asked her to pose for me and, you know, show me her garments and things, and she would snap and pop right into it. So with your knowledge and your care, you have turned surf into, you guys go everywhere. I know that there's an event that's happening in Hawthorne. I think it's August 16th. And you can tell the listeners about that. But you also work out in New Orleans as far as taking care of the children around back-to-school time and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. What happened was the whole thing started in New Orleans because we were at first just a resource service, so parents would call us and we would find therapists for them. You know, it was just something started off very simplistic, or if a parent would call, I would listen to her, I would talk to her, I would let her know that she's not alone out there, because most parents feel, number one, like they're alone, and number two, like it's their fault and that they did something wrong. So once you get over those feelings and realize, no, this is a blessing that came to you, and this is a gift for you in your life. And now I realize how much a gift my son was, because had it not been for him, I would have never found my niche in life. So what happened was I was sitting on the couch. Just like I said, it was a very simplistic organization. All we would do was support parents and things of that nature. And by the way, the OTs and the medical professionals, they're the ones that know that these kids have capabilities beyond what people even can imagine.
Right.
So what happened, I'm on my couch one day, my son is at school, and I'm on my couch and I'm watching all of this horror of Hurricane Katrina. And what happened, they switched the camera over to like a football stadium in Houston or somewhere where they kept all the kids without their parents. And I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm watching this, and I'm looking at these children, I'm like, oh my God. Some of these kids with special needs, they can't handle this. You know, they can't be in a place like this where it's just, I mean, it was thousands of kids there. Thousands upon thousands of kids. And everybody was like, you know, all of them were just like doing their things. And usually with kids with special needs, they get overstimulated very easily. And if people don't understand what is going on with them, they'll totally go into an episode where they're trying to calm themselves down and they can't, so it becomes painful, and therefore it looks like, you know, a tantrum. Because as I tell people, if you see a kid that's laid out on the floor kicking and screaming and things of that nature, because before I would think, just like anybody else would think, oh my God, that mother needs to discipline that child well. But as I got more and more into this, I realized that wasn't the case, because my son had a fit somewhere because he was overstimulated, and he just had an episode that was beyond anything I could even imagine, and it was not like he wasn't disciplined. It was the fact that he was overwhelmed and overloaded, and so now I begin to understand that. So when I see kids outside, you know, when I see kids and I see them going through these episodes and things, if their parents would allow me, I'll go there and I'll talk to them and kind of calm them down, and, you know, and then they'll calm down and then I'll leave them alone or what have you. But getting back to that, so when I saw these kids at the stadium, what I did is I called up, you know, the board members, and I called them all up and talked to them, and I said, we need to go in, because it's obviously these people don't know what they're doing, and they have a situation that they are not even aware of. So they told me, they gave me the okay and told me to go in. So one of my sponsors sponsored the trip and everything. So I went in down there, and that was the most life-changing event of my life. The things that I used to think that were so devastating was nothing. The stories that I heard, the people that I talked to, and the things that they went through is unimaginable. So I went down there, and what happened was I went down there and I went to a couple of different facilities that they had there, and everybody at that time was in Baton Rouge, New Orleans. Nobody was in there, and still, you know, still most of the city was underwater still.
Right.
And so we were up in Baton Rouge, whereas, you know, we were dealing with parents, and they had a couple of facilities up there. One was a private facility, and the other one was a, you know, a facility they took Medicare, or Medi-Cal, as they call it. And when we went in to talk to them, we said, you know, we were telling them that we have identified some kids that need their help and things of that nature, and they were sitting simply telling us, oh, well, we've been to all those places, and, we went to all those places, and we looked at all those kids, and we didn't see anybody that we could service. And then
they
didn't
know what to look for.
They know what to look for. They weren't trying to find them.
Okay.
And then she went into this whole spiel. This was the director of the center. Then she went into this whole spiel. Well, you know, just like one parent, we got them help and we ordered them special chairs. And, you know, they ordered some special equipment and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they said by the time the equipment got there, the parents had to relocate. Of course, they can't stay in a homeless shelter forever. So it was really interesting. So I was there, and the president of the board went down with me, and we looked at this whole situation, and we were like, this place really needs something here. So when we started off in Baton Rouge, we realized that they need another facility, you know, because first we were trying to raise money so they can go to this one facility that we know would take them, and we figured if we raise the money to have these kids treated, we'll be fine.
Right.
So I had even contacted the Autism Society, and they told me, if you find a family down there with a kid with autism that needed help, call us and let us know. Well, I called and let them know, and, you know, and then the result was like, still jumping. I'm like, okay, so you wanted, you know, you didn't have to, you know. They didn't have the moxie to come down there and check it out. So I'm down there checking it out, and they still won't do anything. And Red Cross was an absolute disaster. So when I came back from that whole episode, I told everybody, do not donate any more money to Red Cross. They have enough money, and they're not really utilizing the resources that they have.
Right.
And so there were people in the shelter, because I had the badge that allowed me to go into all the shelters and everything. They had these people in the shelter. Some of them needed medical attention, things of this nature. They wouldn't allow the medical doctors to come inside and set up inside the facility. They had to get a truck outside.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the hell? And it was one lady that was there that her daughter had cerebral palsy, and she had these casts on her legs, and they had been on there for quite some time. And, you know, and half these people couldn't, they didn't have transportation because, you know, when they got out, they had to get out. Most of their cars are washed up, and they're, you know, they're no more, they're not even functional anymore. Because when I finally took a trip over to New Orleans just to see the damage and the devastation, and, I mean, cars had been carried into people's homes and, got, you know, they were all over the place. So these people had no transportation. Baton Rouge had no public transportation, and the area where they put all these people at was so remote that no transportation came out here. So as far as those people trying to get a job and, you know, get somewhat pick up some kind of normalcy in their life was next to impossible. So leaning on to that, what happened was we were down there, and by that time I was just so frustrated because nobody really cared, and the organizations that were receiving all these tons of money, they totally overlooked the idea. So I said, well, I'm ahead of the game because right now everybody's focused on them, you know, on food, shelter, clothing, a job, a place of stability. And I said, you know what, I'm going to let these things happen first because in order for this treatment to be effective, they have to have some stability. And it's not going to work if they're going from, you know, place to place. So I kind of pulled back, and when I pulled back, I still kept connections and kept things going on. So what happened was about a few months later or something, people had started going back into New Orleans, and I had a contact in Baton Rouge that did a back-to-school giveaway for the kids. And we happened to go down to New Orleans, and we were talking about the back-to-school giveaway that she was putting together in New Orleans, in Baton Rouge. And the ladies in New Orleans said, well, what about us? We really need to have one down here. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I could do this. This is the least I could do is pull resources together and make sure that these kids have supplies when they go to school, because half of them, you know, didn't have anything. And so, lo and behold, I pulled this whole thing together. It turned out to be wonderful. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I did this. All right, this is fine. Let me, you know, move on. And they were like, no, you have to, you know, you can't stop now. We still need this. So anyway, I was stuck in a virtual cycle. So I've been down there for 7 years now. But one thing I noticed, because I've been down there each and every year doing things for the community, number one, I have been more accepted in the community, as well as really realizing how many parents need help down there. I've been on radio stations doing interviews and things of that nature. And it was amazing on how many parents didn't know what was wrong with their kids, because most of the they had like maybe three diagnoses that they diagnosed these children with. And one was ADD, of course, and ADHD, they drugged them. Mm-hmm. One mm-hmm. was autism, and they drugged them. And the other one was bipolar disorder, and they drugged them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of parents were afraid to have their kids diagnosed because they knew that they were going to make these kids take drugs. And if the parents didn't give them drugs, they would call Child Protective Services on them.
Okay.
So a lot of parents, you know, had the fear of not seeking help because of this tyranny situation that they had going on. So when I realized
right.
that, I was like, okay, I understand. And so what happened was we gave one year after year in New Orleans, and like after my fifth or sixth year, the therapists start coming down and they start working with the parents and, you know, telling them what's wrong, telling them to go to the schools and ask for this. And so we're still thinking that there's programs and clinics and things set up there. And we begin to realize after being down there for maybe a couple of, you know, about two or three, 4 years, that they didn't have a facility to treat them, and the few that they had was so overloaded, it wasn't even funny. And they didn't even know, it was so many therapists down there that had no idea of this specific type of sensory integrative treatment. And, you know, it was very few of them that knew about that. So we went back to the drawing board, and we decided to, like, you know what? What we need to do is focus on getting, you know, putting together a state-of-the-art facility down there. So I have, you know, we have been working on setting that whole facility idea up, and because, you know, the powers that be are so resistant to it, and plus because it's a non-medicinal form of treatment, you know, we get a lot of pushback, but, you know, they tried to run me away, and I haven't went anywhere because these kids need it. So that's where it started. And also what happened was because so many people hadn't learned about all the stuff I did in New Orleans, somebody
right.
came to me and said, well, we need one here. And I'm like, look, I said, been there, done that. I said, now, if I start this, they're not going to let me stop. I said, because I'm already hooked into New Orleans, and I can't stop, because every year they say, oh, no, you still, no, you can't do this, you can't stop, you need to stay. So anyway, so they talked me, somebody talked me, oh, just do it, I'll support you, I'll back you, and yada, 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 yada. So I was like, oh, okay. So the first 2 years I gave it in Carson. And then I was like, look, you know, I was so exhausted after that whole ordeal because I had got together all the resources and everything, and I was like just driving myself crazy. So I was like, all right, let me just what I did is I ended up, you know, talking to, you know, the officials at Hawthorne, and they welcomed, you know, they were like, oh, please come here. Just please come here with this. We'll back you and support you. So we're over at Hawthorne, and we're giving the event at Hawthorne. It's going to be August 2nd, 16th, and it's going to be at the Memorial Center. And what we're doing so much stuff. We're going to have entertainment. There's going to be hot dogs for the kids. We're going to have free haircuts. We're going to, of course, we're going to have backpacks and school supplies. And it's just going to be a ton of stuff going on there and a lot of activities for the kids to do. And, and if, you know, to name some of the people that are involved is Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Senator Rod Wright is involved, Assemblymember Isidore Hall, as well as Assemblymember Steve Bradford. And hosting this illustrious event is Mayor Chris Brown of Hawthorne. So there's going to be a lot going on. I can't, you know, I can't divulge all the stuff that's going on, but it's going to be a fun event.
Well, Debbie, Kathy, you know, I've called you Debbie Kathy. It's Kathy Carmichael, but I know you as Debbie Kathy Sutton. That is my connection with you, and we go way back. I mean, back. I cannot express my appreciation to you because I know that you have busy days for coming on, sharing this, and because we do family conversation and community information, and it seems like that everyone that's in my life is about the community, and I'm just loving it that I can, you know, contact persons for support. They come on and share because I'm getting ready to ask you, so I know that you're writing your book. If you're not, please get started, because that story about what was happening down there, nobody can tell it like you. You were right there. I mean, how could they help and they didn't even know what to look for? And hearing listeners out there, while you're listening to who, Waking Up with Linda McShann, I have Miss Kathy Carmichael Sutton on the line sharing with us her wonderful organization, SERF, which stands for Sensory Integration Education Research Foundation. She has some people working with her. She heads this up. She's a dynamite lady, and I'm just laughing because she's saying she was exhausted, but I know you loved every minute of it, because at the end results was it was a well-organized event, because I know Kathy Carmichael Sutton, and you're not going to have it any other way, and your heart is for the children. But isn't that so ironic that through the awareness of the tragedy of Katrina and being down there seeing it, and recognizing that it was not going to be any assistance there, and the monies that were being allotted was not going where they were needed, and how could anyone help anyone if the parents weren't even aware of the conditions of their children? And as you say, you know, whenever my niece used to jump on tabletops and twist her hair out, and they wanted to give her medication, I said, she's not getting any medication. We're going to sit down and talk to this girl, okay? Because what you say is when whatever you're diagnosed with, the first thing they want to do is give you drugs, okay? So this particular drug is going to have a side effect from that, and then the pharmaceutical companies are getting wealthy out there, and nothing is ever being done. And with you having firsthand information, you know, I know Miles before he got here, and I'll tell this story. Remember when Miles was a baby? And he got stuck under the TV, and he was screaming. He was screaming because he was stuck under the TV, and he couldn't come out. And I said, Debbie, put the bottle out there in the middle of the floor. I said, he'll come out. And he did that, and I will never forget that. I mean, he wriggled himself from up under that television to get to that bottle because that's what he wanted to see. And it's like from directing, from recognizing, you didn't know that was your first child, but I knew that he would come and get that bottle. Just like those parents, they don't know what to look for. The authorities didn't even know what to look for. And you did come back and say, don't give Red Cross nothing, because they're not doing what they have to do. Well, you know, this is what Waking Up with Linda McShann is about. It's not about getting up out of bed. It's about waking up your life and becoming aware.
Waking up your spirit.
Waking up.
You know what? Another thing I wanted to say to the parents out there that are listening is talk to your children. See what's going on with them. If they're nonverbal, really try to, you know, try to see the clues that the kids are giving you. Because what is so important is a lot of them, some of them can communicate well. Some of them can't really communicate and tell you exactly what's going on with them because 9 times out of 10, they don't really know. So what you have to do as a parent, learn this child and don't try to take him out of his world and put him in and put him in this whole world, this whole world out here that's designed to make Stepford children. You know, what you do is you go in his world and see how he does things. And if you go into his world and see how he does things and work with him in his world, then he'll come on out into the world and bring it, and then he'll feel comfortable to bring out what he has to offer into the world. So it's not about punishing them. It's not about yelling and screaming at them, because even we as adults and even, you know, the people that are so-called norm, which I don't know what normal is anymore.
Me either. I don't know normal people.
I don't know normal people, but anyway, because I'm not normal either.
Baby, I say normal people frighten me, so, you know, we are on the same boat with that. What is normal?
What is normal? So my whole thing, when people yell and scream at each other, everybody is missing the point that you're trying to get across. With these children, when you yell and scream, it just tense them up and heightens them, and they're not listening to what you're saying because they're spinning out of control because you're yelling at them and they don't understand why. So me as a parent, I had to learn, don't yell at him, you know, just talk to him and, you know, just show him, just reason with him. And I had to, like, if he did something, I said, well, if you do that, you're not going to be able to, it's not going to work like that. So it's just showing him things by example. Or if you keep playing with this like this, it may break and you may not have it. So when he doesn't have it, then it's like, okay, well, you don't have it because you did it like that. So you have to constantly, you know, go over things with them, and you know what? They understand. They really understand what you're saying to them, because I'll give them a directive. I'll give my son several different directives of things that he has to do, and he goes right there and does them. So now, today, my son showed me that he knows how to sweep the floor. I was like, okay.
So get to work. Another chore.
Yeah, he spilled something on the floor, and, you know, I was like, well, pick this up. And he was like, you know, no, that doesn't, you know, he was like telling me it didn't make sense. So he went to the back door, and I said, okay, so let's get the broom. And I got the broom, and he starts sweeping it all together and sweeping it up. And I was like, well, that's a good job. And then at one time, he showed me that he wanted to cook for himself. So I let him. He's got up there on the chopping board and started chopping up the stuff that he wanted to go into the pans and things of that nature. So I videotaped him doing it. And it was the most amazing thing because from that day forth, I just let him cook. Sometimes he burns, and sometimes he comes up with incredible selections or different things that I didn't even think about trying. I'm like, ooh, that's good. Okay.
That tastes good. Well, you say he burns, shoot. Now, what's my
problem?
He'll
burn.
Because
sometimes
I'll burn,
he'll burn
boiling
yes.
waters.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes he burns stuff, but then we all burn things. So
that's
you know,
what
and
I'm
I,
saying. I don't have that disorder, but I burn. So what's my excuse?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, I just don't like the kitchen.
Exactly. And see what happens, he gets sidetracked. He'll start cooking, and then he realizes he wants to go in there and play with something.
Okay.
And I'm like, fine, that's okay. But, you know, you've got to stay focused on what you're doing here. So I had a couple of fire alarms go off and everything. And it's like, okay, well, you know we can't do that because you're going to make that go off. So, you know, push come to shove, you know, what I say to parents, you have to know your child, and you are your child's advocate. And the whole thing about it is you have to make sure that they're in the right type of placement, you know, learning the things that they need to learn. They need to be somewhere where they can be nurtured and they can develop those skills that they have hidden inside of them. Because people don't understand, even your kids that don't have disorders or don't have different issues, even those kids, everybody is not academically inclined, and they're pushing all this academics with these children, and some of them, you know, some of them are artists.
Yes.
Some of them are musically inclined. Some of them are artistically inclined. Some of them want to be chefs. So everybody does not want to be academically inclined. Academics are, you know, they're important, but you know what? You got to mix that in because they have to learn how to read and write and their math and things of that nature. And, you know, the ones that want to be scientists, that, you know, they need to do that. But they don't do that much science. They don't have that much science in school. They definitely took up the music programs.
The music is gone, all the creativity, and that's why we out here, you have to keep it going, because I tell people, you know, the music and the performance groups, they have to be brought back in, because those are arenas that teach responsibility, unity, being responsible, you know, versus, you know, growing up in
camaraderie, you know,
and all of
that teaches them teamwork, where they have to work with one another in order to accomplish the common goal. And all of those things are really lost. So to me, it's like, what are you doing to these kids now?
Well, making them clones, and they're getting techie.
Exactly.
They're not using their, you know, in the back of our brain, and I'm not going to be scientific here because I don't want to mispronounce, but we do have an organ in the back of our brain that's for voice and audio, and if you don't use it, it will draw up like a raisin. So I deal with a lot of young adults, and I have one request for them. I don't care about you texting. I don't care about you sending an email, but I need to hear your voice once a week, because that way then I know you're still speaking. Because if you don't stop it, the only thing that's going to make a move is the ting from a text or a ting from a whatever. So, no, it's up to the young adults to push to have that creativity brought out there, and that's why I'm on the air now. That's why Waking Up with Linda McShann is in existence, because I talked to a young man, a gentleman that heard me say these children need a voice. They need to quit shooting and start speaking. And it took off from there. So everybody is here with us. And it was
One thing, Linda, I'm sorry to cut in, but one thing that, you know, schools have to realize, this whole no tolerance, you know, this whole no tolerance thing that they have going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what they're basically doing is they're making criminals out of our children this no-tolerance policy, because things, you know, things that even the administrators who, when they were kids, things that they, you know, what happened to them bringing in the kids and talking to them and trying to have some reason with each other? They don't have time. Oh, just have the police pick them up, you know, and he'd give them a ticket, and he has to go to court. The parents have to pay $300-$400. And
That's money. That's revenue. Pick them up, put them in jail.
What is this? This is crazy. And, you know, and these kids are not nurtured. A lot of times, you know, the kids, mom and dad, they work all kind of crazy hours. So the kid usually is home by himself all the time. The only thing he has to keep him company is TV and the video games, you know, and things of that
nature. And his thuggish friends that come by because they know
he's a prime target to get into all kind of deviant behavior. So my whole thing is, you know, let's pay attention to our kids. Let's nurture our kids.
Yes, I'm going to agree with that. And, you know, we're going to wind it down, Kathy Carmichael.
Okay, that's
I'm going to put this out here. I will be out there If you need my assistance, that's August 16th. I will stay in the city because, you know, I'll be celebrating my birthday week up in there. But I would love to come out.
Happy birthday.
Yes,
coming up.
I'm going to come out.
And anybody in your listening audience that wants to know more about the organization, they can go to our website, which is www.surf.org, and surf is spelled S as in Sam, I as in Ice, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, F as in Frank. So just go to www.surf.org. On the website is the information of the back to school giveaway, and it's a lot of other valuable information about a lot of different things with kids with disorders. And thank you so much, Linda, for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on and sharing. And as I stated, I will be out there. I'll be speaking with you. I'm going to pay it forward. And while we're out there, if you feel like it and if you have time, we can have a little interview going on and talk to some of the kids. I have a neighbor that I will speak with her, and maybe her daughter would like to come and join just to see what's happening because she is a young parent. Her child does have a disorder, and she is kind of shame about it right now, so we need to open her up. I will contact you. I will have you back if you will come back because, you know, we like to hear about good, important things.
All I have to do is just get a break in my time.
I know, and I'll let you know ahead of time. You know, you taught me how to plan very well. I'm going to give that back to you. See, it's like one thing I don't ever get, and that's amnesia. So it's like right back at you. And I know how your schedule is running, and I know the type of things that you do. I know how you operate, how you move, and because some of that has been embedded into me from me meeting you years and years and years ago. So I'm going to tell the listening audience that call in, text in, contact Surf for the Hearthon event, August 16th. Go out there, live in my hand. It's awesome what you do. Kathy Carmichael Sutton for our children.
Carmichael.
I've been calling you Carmichael all night because, you know, I'm used to calling you Kathy Debbie Sutton. So I'm going to have to get that name together. Okay, you change up on me. I love you.
I was just letting you know.
I know you. I love you, and I'm going to give you a call. And I'll slap you in somewhere for the 16th. Wherever you need me to go.
Okay, and I'm proud of you. And you know, this is a wonderful forum. And you know what? And listening audience, keep on listening. Okay,
yes.
Because there's some valuable things out there that you need to hear about that you don't hear on these everyday radio news programs or radio stations. They only hear what you want. They want you to hear. So you need to come out. You know, you need to come out of that syndrome or cycle or, you know, whatever, to get, you know, real information that, you know, that's more, that, you know, suits you more, okay,
right.
Instead of hearing all the negativity, because there's a lot of positive, there's a lot of positive things that are going on that we never hear about.
No, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, we never hear about it because the negativity is what attracts the news. So anyway, Linda, thank you very much, and you take care, okay?
I will, and I will be contacting you this week, but slot me in, put me where you need me, let me know what time I have to be there.
Okay, and I am really proud of you, and, you know, hey, congratulations on your show.
Thank you so much. It's only the beginning, and with persons like yourself, we're going to take it global. I love you.
Okay, I love you too. Oh. Goodbye.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on.
You've been listening to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan on Sunday. Family conversation, community information. We had some great topics. We had Ms. Carolina Espinoza on sharing the importance of homeless youth so that we can be aware of what's going on out there. And we had Ms. Cassie Carmack Sutton coming on from SURF Foundation. And SURF is an organization that deals with special needs children in the state of California and in New Orleans. It's a lot of interesting stuff happening out here. And for those of you who have questions, like Michael called in today, he wanted to know where he could go volunteer. Well, there you go, Michael. You can get started out there August 16th in Hartbond at the Memorial Auditorium for that back-to-school giveaway. We will get that information to you, and it's a lot going on. We had little Nene come on to give you a taste of what she's about. She will be my co-host, and she is 12 years old, and she is a firecracker. I cannot wait so that you can hear what she's all about. She's getting ready to tear up Los Angeles. She has been out in the community and been in the community for many, many years, starting as a little toddler. So she is the community person. Please listen to us on Thursday. We'll be back on. I'll be posting out many, 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 many topics. You've been on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. Have a great one.
As around the sun, the earth no sheets revolving, and the rosebuds know the bloom in early May. Just as hate knows love secure, you can rest your mind secure. I'll be loving you always. Now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, you know what I say.